Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Fort Bragg's backyard, this is the show that put the 110 Nation on the map. There is only one nation, the 110 Nation, and you're listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show. Covering each and every sport across the board. There is no sport too large or too little. It's time to talk the talk. Here we go. Here's the man, the founder, and your host, Mr. CJ Sports.
Welcome, everybody, to the 110 Nation Sports Show. I'm your host, Mr. CJ Sports. You can follow me at Mr. CJ Sports. You can check out my personal fan page, Mr. CJ Sports. I normally have a routine here that I do, and you tell them out of sync. Let's try that again. You can follow me at Mr. CJ Sports. You can follow the 110 Nation at 110 Nation. Check us out on Facebook, my personal fan page, Mr. CJ Sports, the 110 Nation fan page, 110 Nation Sports. Also, check out our site, www.the110nationsports.com, for all the latest going on here at the 110 Nation. I want to make sure that I thank Fit for Life. You guys can find them on Facebook, Fit for Life. You can also go to our site, www.the110nationsports.com, the right-hand side. Click the pretty little banner. Find a location near you. 24/7, 365, get your gym on, clean facility, courtesy staff, everything you possibly need or want. That is Fit for Life. Also got to thank Maxvation Digital Media that hooked us up with our cool banners and logos. Make sure you guys check them out for all your digital media needs. Also, got to thank Carolina Sports Plus. Go check out their fan page, Carolina Sports Plus, for all your merchandising needs. Mario hook you up with some great product, great prices. I can't even begin to tell you how much NCAA, NFL, and NBA stuff that I've gotten from Mario. So make sure that you make sure you guys check him out as well. We've got to thank the I-95 Sports Network and Mile High Radio for rebroadcast or syndicating the shows. Without these great marketing partners and or networks, we wouldn't be able to do what we do or grow the way we grow. So I want to thank them. We got Izzo joining us at 9:30. Get us all caught up on the latest going on in the NHL. So looking forward to that. Long, rough week for those that don't know. My store, once upon a time, was an 18-hour store. Closed at midnight, opened back up 6 a.m. Due to the fact that in the last 3 years, we have doubled, maybe even more than doubled our sales. And due to the fact that there was only really one other store in actual town, at least on this side of town, there's one on the other main road. Kind of almost outside of town, and then there's two of them that are really outside of town. Due to the only one really, and I've drug my feet the last year and a half. This is something that could have already happened. I just didn't want the headaches of having to worry about having a third shifter. Finally, the feet stopped dragging, and we made it happen. Started yesterday. My store is officially a 24-hour store. So I've been up Monday morning at 2:30 in the morning so I can go to the gym and get to work on time. And this morning I had to be at work at 4, so I got up at, 3:40 or so. So been a long day. So just got home about an hour ago. Then I got to turn around and be back up at 3:40 or so tomorrow morning so I can go in and so show my assistant how this whole process works now. So then I can go to the gym, come home, take a shower, get changed, and then go right back in and then do another whole long day. So not looking forward to it. Fox players with the Pearson family. Yes, David Pearson, the Silver Fox, NASCAR, passed away yesterday. So condolences and our thoughts with their family. How impressive from the Cleveland Browns. It's been a fun couple of days. I have had an Atlanta Falcons fan that comes in on a regular basis that we like to poke back and forth over the last year, 2 years, sports-wise. And it's not been very pleasurable for him to be a must over the last few days. So Nick Chubb's 92-yard longest run from scrimmage this season, and longest in franchise history. That's crazy to know. That as long and as far back as the Cleveland Browns go, this was their longest run, or longest play. So crazy. Kind of glad with the NFL, the dust is starting to settle. And first, since the last time we've had a show, Dez Bryant was signed to the team, and then this last Friday, final practice, the end of final practice, before it tears his Achilles. And that was the end of that whole Dez Bryant project. Would have been interesting to see how that would have gone. Could Dez Bryant handle not being the number one, as between Thomas and Kamara? I just don't know. Dez was not going to be the number one player of the team, so kind of interesting. I thought it was interesting as well that Kamara and Ingram both throwing up the X in show of love for their teammate for a day or two. But the Saints turn around and sign Brandon Marshall. So we'll see how that goes. But I'm glad that the dust is starting to kind of settle. And what I mean by that is, one, you had a lot of people that, one was riding that undefeated Rams wagon pretty hard there. And, of course, the Saints putting into that, a lot of their wins have not really been that impressive. I mean, granted, they were still undefeated up until then, and still only have one loss, but not really that impressed with what we had completely seen. I think too many people bought into it, and were ready to proclaim the Rams to be the best team in your 2018-19 NFL champs. And I wasn't sold on that. I still think it's a little bit of a young team. Last year when they rolled into the playoffs, I knew they were a one-hit wonder. That's what I called was a one-hit wonder. And it was nothing against them. It was just a young team, no experience. You talk about rookies and everything else. This offseason, they spent a bunch of money, added some pieces to it. A little bit deeper in the playoffs. I don't think you have it. I do not. I do not see the Rams being the NFC representative. That's like there's a lot of people sold on the Kansas City Chiefs. Fun to watch at times. Flashy, a lot of points. There's a saying, and I'm a diehard true believer in the saying. offenses win games, defenses win championships. And that Kansas City defense is horrendous. They count and depend on Mahomes and Hunt and Hill and company, Kelce, to help outscore the other opponent, not beat the opponent, not. And the offense already knows we're not going to count on our defense to make a stop. If they make one, good. That's a bonus for us. But we're not counting on them making a stop. We're counting on outscoring the opponents. That's not a formula for a championship. That's not a formula to be a team that's going to go to the Super Bowl. Just like it's funny to me how quickly, and I don't know what it is about the Patriots, but it's funny to me how quickly everybody writes off the Patriots every single time. The Patriots had a bumpy start. They were, what, 1-2, something like that. And then they went on a 6-7 game win streak. And all of a sudden, they're sitting like 6-2, 7-2. And everybody gets silent, don't really want to talk about the Patriots team that we're used to seeing. And they have an off week. They get beat by the Tennessee Titans. The Tennessee Titans came in with passion. They came in with heart. They came in with with knowing that their head coach was once a former player and coach of Bill Belichick, and kind of wanted to make sure that they made him proud and kind of put all their effort into beating the New England Patriots. So I'm sitting there watching the reports. Oh, it's the time for the New England Patriots to move on. What's New England going to do with a Tom Brady that's deteriorating and all this other stuff? And I'm sitting there thinking, are you serious? Like, they've lost like 3 out of 10 games. They're other than the Kansas City Chiefs, what, the best team in the, maybe the Steelers, second best team in the record-wise. And I'm sorry, but if I was to go down to Las Vegas right now and had $1 million and it was told I could only bet on one team, I'm betting on the Patriots still. Like, this is the New England Patriots. Like, people, no other team, people react like this. Like, and it blows my mind. The Rams lose a game and, okay, it was the Saints and blah, blah, blah. But the Patriots lose a game and Brady's deteriorating. He's over the hill and this and that. And I don't get that. But now the dust has settled. And the same thing happens every year. The Patriots get off to a bad start. They make this run. They have a hiccup or so. Then you get down to the last few weeks of the season. And all of a sudden, everything clicks. Everything's on full. Everything's running on full cylinders. And all of a sudden, we're looking at the New England Patriots and these Super Bowls. It's just what happens every year. I'm not quite sure why, what, how this becomes a topic of conversation every single year, but amazingly enough, it does. And so, I'm more so, when I talk about the dust settling, this whole LA Ram thing, I know I'll take anything away from some of these players on the Rams. I mean, Gurley, great running back. Donald, great defensive player. Flowers, a great defensive player. But I'm sorry, I'm not sold on the rest of this team being so great. Sue has been up and down most of his career, not really that great of a player, and has cost teams more in yardage because of stupid penalties and personal fouls and everything else, and has spent thousands of dollars in fines because of his stupidity. And nothing against Jared Goff, but am I really supposed to be that impressed by him? I mean, I can name probably good 15, 20 quarterbacks that I would take over Jared Goff. You got Roethlisberger, you got Brady, you got Matt Ryan, Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, Phillip Rivers. Trying to walk up two different conference posts at the same time. I don't know about Flacco. Probably take, and this is going to be really weird for me to say, as much as I was anti this going into the season, and I still have my reservations, but there is definitely no denying his heart, his dedication, his everything that he is doing with the opportunity he was given this year. But Baker Mayfield, Derek Carr, that's the second best complete. I think a lot of people overlook the fact that the Raiders have sucked so bad this year. Derek Carr has like the second best completion percentage in the NFL behind Drew Brees, who phenomenally is almost 80% this year. So we're already at 10 quarterbacks that I would take. Mahomes, I would take for him. Let's jump into the South. Andrew Luck. That's the one out of that. The East. None of those other than Brady. Oh, I said Brady. And then, Aaron Rodgers. There's already 15 easy that I would take over Jared Goff. There's nothing big about Jared Goff. His arm does not impress me. It's not like he's got this very accurate arm or this very deep arm. It's just Jared Goff. None of the receivers really, are standouts, fights out, gotta have. Brown should go pursue receivers, so. And then, I'm glad that the dust is settling. You got the Kansas City Chiefs that, Kansas City this and Kansas City that. Well, if your defense don't stop nobody, eventually you're going to run into a team that one of two things are going to happen. Either A, they're going to be able to outscore you. They're going to be explosive enough that they will outscore the Kansas City Chiefs, which already happened once this year, the New England Patriots, or you're going to find a team that their defense is good enough that's going to shut them down, and they're not necessarily going to have to outscore them. They're just going to have a well-balanced attack on both sides of the ball and be able to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. And then the New Orleans Saints, a team that nobody was looking at at the beginning of the season, and all of a sudden, you're looking at an 8-1 New Orleans Saints with a quarterback that's almost 80% completion that really didn't have many targets other than Michael Thomas and then Kamara coming out of the backfield. It doesn't really use that many targets to, we're going to add Ben Bryant. He doesn't make it three practices and is hurt, and then that's done. And then go in and manhandle the Cincinnati Bengals, which, for those that wasn't listening when it was announced, I will be at the Cleveland-Cincinnati game in 2 weeks. Birthday present, early birthday present, or not birthday, but Christmas present from my mom, from me and my son. As my son and I are both Cleveland fans. All the rest of our family is unfortunately Cincinnati fans. So it ought to be an intriguing Sunday here in about 2 weeks. But Saints went in to a team that was viewed upon at one part of time in this season as a threat to the AFC, the Cincinnati Bengals. Really started off the season good. Got manhandled by the Saints. And the Saints won, aren't having to outscore their opponents. They beat the Bengals pretty bad. But there's a lot of great pieces with Thomas and with Drew Brees and with Ben Watson and with Kamara and with Ingram, and it just overall a well put together team. And I like the fact that status was rising to the top as we're watching the rest of those teams that were kind of just smoke and mirrors and overhyped by others.
Hey, Michael.
I've been up for 3 days, man. Only a couple hours of sleep. I think maybe 5 hours of sleep total combined the last 2 or 3 nights. But I am not going to lie. I'm not going to tell a story. I do continue to carry a big smile on my face when I continue to watch. But I really wish I wouldn't have won the Super Bowl. I don't know why. I guess as the few Eagle fans that I know in this area, they've gone on and above and beyond all ridiculousness about their team. And talking about their team, they're the new New England Patriots, and we're going to see them in many Super Bowls. That might have part to do with that, I don't know, but I'm glad to see that they're a one-hit wonder. Could even manage to beat the Dallas Cowboys last night, or I'm sorry, Sunday night, and it is funny watching all the Cowboy fans come out the woodwork and be all excited, not that Dak Prescott had this phenomenal game. He had a little above average quarterback game. Great game for him, but compared to the rest of the NFL, barely, maybe a little above average. So it's been an interesting season so far. We got 11 weeks in the book, so definitely. Couple quick things real quick before we get Izzo in the studio. Tomorrow night, I'll be back in the studio at 9 o'clock. Really good possibility that since we're going to do a one-hour show, that we're going to extend it into a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday show instead of just Tuesday, Wednesday. So we expect that to be a possibility. Draymond Green suspended the game for the altercation with Kevin Durant. I don't know what's going on in Golden State, but Steve Kerr might want to get that under wraps because you got some teams starting to put some pieces together, and there's a couple teams out there that come the end of the season are going to be serious title contending threats there. So, but yeah. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of hype going into the season about the whole LeBron James and Lakers. I tell you what, that's not really been a big topic of conversation other than him being frustrated and understanding that this what was going to be a long process and knew what he was getting into. So, I don't know, a lot of people try to put a lot into something that I don't think that really that big of a deal. It's a new team. What are they expecting? Not a new team, but a team that they just assembled pretty much. There was some big pieces added, and you still got some young players, so really not a big surprise. That's at 12 night, 9 o'clock. Make sure you guys tune in as with the 24-hour store and everything else. My schedule shifted up a little bit, so I'm going to be kicking the shows off at 9 o'clock. So I got an opportunity to take care of things that got to be taken care of so bills can be paid, and we get our studio time and everything. But let's go ahead and bring Izzo into the house. Bring him into the studio. This man.
Here we go. Hey, Jay, are you there?
Okay. I don't know how long I was talking to myself before I turned her. Turned my head and realized that I my phone had hung up, and Izzo was the only one in the studio. So I'm not sure exactly where I cut out, but Izzo, welcome to the show.
Hey, man, it's pretty good to be back here again. Another fun Tuesday night, trying to stay warm. It's only 31 degrees in Houston, Texas right now. I kind of feel like I'm back home in the Northeast again. Apparently, we got some snowfall today here in Texas, which is the third year in a row we've had snowfall here. So this has got to be some sort of record because, you know, I never thought I'd ever see snow again. So, yeah, it's been cold here the last couple of days. It's going to continue to be cold here. But sitting here, we got some pretty good matchups going on. What we got going on right now for November 13th, we got Pittsburgh in New Jersey. The Devils are up 3-2 on the Penguins with about 8 minutes left to go in the third. Mike, your Islanders are up 5-2 at home against the Canucks with about under 2 minutes left to go in the third period. Florida is in Philly tonight. The Cats got a 2-1 lead with 4 minutes left to go in the third. Tampa Bay is up in Buffalo tonight. The Lightning are down to the Sabres 2-1. That third period just kicked off. End of the second right now. Arizona's up in Detroit. The Red Wings are all over the Coyotes 4-0. Washington trying to avoid their first three-game losing streak since last season. We're up 3-1 against Minnesota up in Minnesota. We got one Battle of Canada going on tonight. We got Montreal in Edmonton. That game is tied at 1. And that's what we got on tap for tonight. Right now. We got two later games at 10:30. We got Toronto going out to take on the struggling Kings right now. We also have Nashville going out to San Jose. Like I said, those two games are going to start at 10:30 Eastern time. The Toronto-LA King game is going to be the free game for NHL.tv, so you can go ahead and log on to NHL.com, and that will be a game that you can watch from your laptop, your phone, or on your desktop, whatever's convenient for you. But that's what we got on top for tonight, Jay.
First thing I want to jump into, and I have a feeling this is going to consume a lot of the time, but obviously it's a big thing and an important thing. And to me, it's always interesting, one, when you listen to people break down and talk about the career or talk about why or maybe why they shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. And the 2018 class is something that has been a topic of conversation, and we got our list and our six new inductees. What did you think about this class, the 2018 class? Any particular player stick out? Any particular person stick out? Anybody you were surprised? Maybe not that they're in the Hall of Fame, or maybe got in already versus somebody else is still waiting. Let's get your input on the whole class of 2018 Hall of Fame.
Well, like you said, we did have the Hall of Fame ceremony last night. It was on NHL Network on cable, which is something I enjoy watching every year. You know, I think the two big people that were, just player-wise were Marty Berger and Marty St. Louis. But, you know, you had Jana Hedeford, who is one of the more tremendous female hockey players to ever play the game for Canada for a long time. Alexander Yakushev, who actually never played in the NHL, played on those legendary 70s Soviet Union teams for a long, 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 long time. Many gold medals and World Cups and Olympics. You had Willie O'Ree, who was also inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame as a builder. Those who do not know, Willie O'Ree was the first African-American to break the color barrier in the NHL, even though it was a short, 45-game career. He spent most of his, playing career in the minor leagues, still playing professional hockey, but is a big integral part of bringing youth hockey to underprivileged areas around the world. And really paving the way for, future African-Americans who have graced our sport, and guys like Jerome McGinley, Grant Fuhr, Wayne Simmons, Devontae Smith-Pelly, and company. And there's so many, more that have gone on to have some pretty good careers in today's NHL and probably will have, more as the years go on. So, if you look right now, you got the Subban brothers who are in the league right now, who are tearing it up. PK, being the eccentric personality that he is, had a lot to, holds a lot of thanks and praise for guys like Willie O'Ree to give him the opportunity to play this great sport. So, when you look, not, Commissioner Bettman is not really a fan favorite in the hockey community, always getting booed no matter what, where he goes, and all the appearances he makes. But he got in, as a builder, in the builder class of the Hall of Fame. So, it was kind of cool to see, Marty St. Louis and some of his former teammates that he played with in Tampa to come out. He had Victor Hedman and Stamkos and a few other guys that came out and graced him, before, his Hall of Fame speech, which was pretty cool to see. Marty St. Louis was an undrafted player and went on to win a Stanley Cup. And brought a Stanley Cup to Tampa Bay in 2004, with the likes of Le Cavalier and Nikai Habibolin and company, and those games, that team right there was, coached by your Columbus bench boss and John Tortorella. So that team, is a pretty memorable one. But for me, seeing Marty Brodeur was probably the icing on the cake for me. He was the last inductee into the Hall of Fame. But, this guy has got, 691 wins under his belt, which no one is probably going to come close to for a very, very long time. There's only maybe a few goaltenders that might come within breathing distance of that mark. But, over 126 career shutouts for most all time, you know, as a goaltender, you know, a couple Stanley Cups, some Olympic golds, was part of some really amazing teams, you know, was really kind of humbled and very, very emotional during his speech. You know, he grew up in the Montreal area where his dad was a sports photographer and used to take pictures of the Canadians in the old Montreal Forum. And, he, you know, his dad used to take him to games. And, you know, he felt just very, very, very blessed, you know, being drafted by Lou Lamoriello in that 1990 draft. I think it was 18th overall. And went on to have a stellar career. And Jana Hedford, like I said, she was she's the commissioner of the CHL, the Women's Professional Canadian League. You know, and she's been one of the best female hockey players of all time. You know, she's the sixth woman to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. She's won the Olympic gold four times, you know, 2002, 2006, 2010, and 2014. You know, so she's had a pretty, you know, stellar career. So, you know, and she's been very intricate in expanding the women's game, not only on the international ranks, but in the professional ranks. So, you know, it was really cool to see, you know, some of the greats that were there, especially for Alexander Yushkinev, where Vladislav Tretiak and Igor Larionov and Slava Fetisov, who were his fellow countrymen, were there to support him. And being, you know, one of the few guys that, you know, hasn't played in the NHL, but, you know, still had a stellar career with the Soviet Union. You know, over 300 goals, 380-some goals in 500-and-some-odd games. Countless World Cup golds and Olympic golds. Was part of that really dominant Soviet team during the during the 70s. You know, he was part of that that big line. You know, he stood pretty tall at like 6'4", 220 pounds, and as a winger. So, you know, he played for the Soviet team in that Summit Series in 1972 against the All-Stars of Canada. And, you know, Phil Esposito, Bobby Clark, and the Mihailovich brothers, and, you know, Jacques Plante. Ken Dryden, excuse me. You know, and that was one of the major historical moments in hockey alone. You know, I have Ken Dryden's autobiography from that Summit Series, which is a really good read. And the 8-game series between the Soviet Union and Canada really kind of showed you know, Canada wasn't the only hockey superpower in the world at that time. You know, two completely different games, a very systematic game that the Soviets played at that point in time, and they really earned their spot, you know, as a hockey superpower in the world, and really paving the way for the young guys to not only break into the you know, the Soviet national team, but to get some guys into the National Hockey League. You know, some graceful, some not so graceful. So, you know, if you've ever seen there was one Soviet player who defected you know, to the United States, and Alexander Mogilny, who pretty much almost, you could say, was almost kidnapped by the Buffalo Sabres front office people, and they had to sneak him out of the country. I've watched the story and read about this story a few times. You know, and it's just something that, you know, really kind of was very dangerous at the time. But, you know, when you look back on it, you know, 20-some-odd years later, it's, you know, one of the great historical points of the hockey game today. So, you know, congratulations, Commissioner Bedman, Brodeur, Hedford, Willie O'Ree, St. Louis, and Yushkinev. It was a very, very emotional ceremony for some of these players. And I'm already looking forward to, you know, next year's class for 2019. So, you know, there are a couple names that are being brought up, you know, right now. You know, Patrick Elias, Pierre Turgeon, Jeremy Roenick, Daniel Alfredson, are some of the candidates that you're going to get. Another female that's going to be brought up is Haley Wickenheiser, who is, you know, one of the Canadian female stars, five-time Olympic medalist, and, you know, including four golds. You know, she's won 13 medals at the IIHF World Championships, including seven golds. You know, she's the Canadian's women's team all-time leader in goals and assists and points. So, you know, it's these are some of the names that have been, you know, listed. But, you know, to your point, I think Pierre Turgeon, who's been eligible since 2010, has been, you know, kind of snuffed. You know, he has the most points of any eligible player not in the Hall of Fame right now. I think over 1,300 points with over 500 goals in just under 1,300 games, if I remember correctly. But, you know, you still have Alexander Mogilny, like I said, who is a big role for some of the Sylvia players to come over. He's been eligible since 2009. Theo and Fleury, who's one of the best small guys in the league, you know, he's been eligible since 2009. Boris Mikhailov, he's been eligible since 1984. He's another one of them Soviet guys that never played in the NHL, but just had an immaculate career on the international level with the Soviet team. So, you know, there's a couple other guys that I'd like to see, maybe Rod Brendamore, Curtis Joseph. You know, these are a couple guys that have had some pretty stellar careers and got the numbers to back up their, you know, their Hall of Fame, reasons. So, you know, it's always fun. It's always fun to see, you know, the greats gather in Toronto, where the NHL Hall of Fame is. You know, it's fun to see, you know, guys like Gretzky and Lemieux. And so on and so forth, and some of the greatest players that have ever, you know, graced the game, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just always, it's always something this player, and, you know, you remember certain highlights and plays and seasons and, mm-hmm. you know, accolades and everything. So it's always fun, you know, no matter what sport it is. Hall of Fame inductees, and enshrinements are always fun, you know. Us being from where we are, you know, we were always blessed being, you know, so close to Canton, Ohio, with the Hall of Fame game and the Hall of Fame enshrinements for the NFL. You know, that's probably two of the biggest reasons why I, watch, you know, football and hockey, is just because of the Hall of Fame, you know, enshrinements. You know, I know there's basketball and baseball, but, you know, if you look at the physicality of the sport of both of these sports, you know, it kind of holds a higher place on the pedestal than the other two. So, you know, I'm just always a fan, and I always will be a fan. And, you know, it's just a great way for people to reminisce on their favorite players as they get inducted into the Hall of Fame.
One more thing, and I'm going to let you hit on a couple of topics with time remaining. Capitals drop-off raffle winner donates $19,285 to Pittsburgh shooting victim. Obviously, when we have casualties and victims and wounded, and we watch either fans or athletes or teams rise to the occasion and help any way they can. It's always a big thing. I watched a video just earlier today. One of the most critiqued and criticized receivers in the league, Odell Beckham Jr., was sitting there with 49er fans, out of all fans. I think it was before the Monday Night Football game. It was light out. So before the Monday Night Football game, doing some great things with those that are less fortunate and have disabilities and stuff. And it was really cool. And it was one of those things that you can say what you want to say about Odell and his performance this year and his contracts and everything else. But once you have a moment like that and you see him affect somebody the way that he got to affect somebody, you kind of just let all the BS go to the sidelines and – you know, kind of embrace the moment, and this was another opportunity, and not so much the whole BS, but the unfortunate events that have happened, But what was that like, Izzo, and what was your thoughts as you got an opportunity to read or even possibly see this go on?
Well, as we all know, you know, that Washington-Pittsburgh is one of the better rivalries in the NHL. You know, mm-hmm. both of these teams have a formidable amount of hate for each other, but just when I thought that, you know, we've seen teams that have bad fans, you know, when you think of rowdy bad fans, you know, you think of maybe some Raiders fans or any type of Philadelphia fan or, you know, even some Steelers fans that I know, you know, so it's kind of cool to see, you know, Pittsburgh was, you know, playing Washington, you know, quite a bit throughout the year. And the 50-50 raffle, the Capitals had decided that their half of the 50-50 was going to go to the victims of the Tree of Life shooting that was in Squirrel Hill, Pittsburgh. And the fan that won it decided, you know, he spent $100 on the 50-50 raffle for the game, and, you know, like you said, won over $19,000, and decided to give it to donate to the victims and the families as well, which really goes to show you that, yeah, sometimes, you know, teams fans can be a little bit discouraging and maybe kind of rude, but, you know, this was just an act of generosity that, you know, you don't really necessarily see all the time, you know. I mean, it's kind of hard, you know, you win just over $19,000. It's kind of hard to give that away, but, you know, it shows what kind of heart and what kind of a person this man was. You know, he said, you know, I didn't have it, you know, I'm not going to miss it, you know. So as long as I'm doing some sort of good with it and I can help somebody, you know, why not do it? So, you know, that's over almost $40,000 that was just donated in one night just from one game, you know, from one three-hour segment. So, you know, it's really cool to see that there are some really, really good human beings out there that do – have a lot of love more than hate in their heart and then in their mind. So, you know, I was just really blown back and taken back from this, you know, this gesture that was just so impressive to see. I mean, it's only $100 that you're really losing out on, but, you know, what you're gaining, you know, mentally and spiritually, it's got to be a big, big, big gratification of some sort. I could never imagine what that must feel like, you know, to be able to, you know, help somebody in that, you know, in that big moment. You know, it's kind of cool to see that this guy is, you know, yeah, he's a Capitals fan, but, you know, he has the heart and love of a human being to spread, you know, some sort of help to other human beings that have suffered in some sort of way. So it was really a really touching moment, and just another reason why I believe hockey fans are some of the most diehard, loving people in the world. So, you know, this is, you know, not only has the hockey world, like I said before, been, you know, gracious in trying to help people get through this, but the whole world has poured in. And, you know, this is just another fine example of decent human beings doing the right thing and just standing up, you know, above all expectations, Jay.
Some of the bigger headlines with the last 3 or 4 minutes before we get into this week's matchup, anything you want to key in on that's happened either this week or since I had stuff come up and you were under the weather, we didn't get on here last week, that you want to touch on tonight?
Well, the biggest one has to be the firing of Joe Quenneville in Chicago. That's definitely been the biggest biggest change so far. You know, Chicago, who has had their fun in the sun, you know, in the last, you know, 9-10 years, you know, winning three Stanley Cups in that process with Joel Quenneville behind the bench. You know, that was kind of a shock to me. But, you know, inevitably the Blackhawks were not doing so well coming out of the gate. You know, a change had to be made, and Stan Bowman decided that it was time for that era to end. So, you know, right now Quenneville is open to returning to coaching immediately, which I do believe will probably happen sooner than, you know, rather later. I don't think it'll be too much longer before, you know, before he gets into back into coaching a team. I have been led to believe that he does not want to be part of a rebuilding franchise right now, so that kind of eliminates a few teams, you know, off the top of my head right now, you know, and teams like maybe St. Louis have been brought up. You know, I know he does not want to go to a team like L.A. right now, who is just, you know, really down in the dumps right now, but, you know, it's going to be hard to see where he could go. There are a couple teams in my mind that could probably use his services and his wisdom. I mean, if you look at some of the teams right now that are possibly maybe could use his services, I think Edmonton would be a good fit for him. You know, with Connor McDavid, that's a young core group of guys right there that could win now. You know, if you look right now in that Pacific division, Vancouver and Calgary are sitting atop that league or that division right now. And if you look at the Central division with Nashville, Minnesota, and Winnipeg leading it right now, you know, who knows? Dallas could be another team that might be interested in his services if they can, you know, possibly turn it around. They've been kind of spotty somewhat this season, but I do believe that I have a feeling he might end up in the Eastern Conference at some point in time. I think that might be the best situation for him. I mean, if you look at the standings right now, especially in the Metro Division, Jay, your Columbus Blue Jackets right now are sitting on top of the Metro Division with the Islanders. With the Islanders and the Rangers right, you know, behind them by 2 points. So, you know, Columbus has really kind of kicked it in the high gear. They're 6-2-2 their last 10 games right now. They're on a one-game win streak. Their next game is, I do believe, on the 15th against Florida at home. So, you know, I think, you know, Philly could be a good spot for him to land if Dave Hansroll won't, you know, keep the Flyers above float right now. You know, Carolina right now could be another potential landing spot. Who knows? But I really don't see it being too much longer before we might see another firing of a head coach right now. And, you know, you might get Quenneville into a spot. You know, I definitely don't think he's going to go to Ottawa. Ottawa's in trouble right now. And actually, I'm hearing rumors that maybe after, if Seattle gets a team, that Ottawa might be being relocated. I think the two teams right now that are in danger of being relocated right now are Ottawa and Arizona, just because of all the front office woes and the on and off ice issues in Ottawa. I don't know if anybody saw the Uber driver YouTube video of seven Ottawa Senators players getting an Uber driver back to the hotel and really throwing their coach under the bus, saying things that they don't listen to him in practice. They don't do the things that he wants done in games. And it was a kind of a really bad thing. You know, so Ottawa's kind of, you know, kind of out, you know, maybe Florida could be a possible landing spot for Quenneville, but I really believe he wants to go to a spot where he can win now. And, you know, if it's not an Eastern Conference team, I think Edmonton would be a good spot for him. You know, I do believe that Edmonton could be the front runner for a guy like Joel Quenneville. You know, he could go back to St. Louis. He has spent time there before. Pretty familiar with the team. He did coach there before. So we'll see what happens with Quenneville's future. But it's certainly going to be not the last time that we're going to see him as a head coach. You know, he's got three Stanley Cups to his name. He knows how to win. He knows how to bring that pedigree of play that, you know, it takes to win. So, you know, he's proven it before, and he'll prove it again. I have no doubt.
What games do we need to look out for this week, and any games that I need to especially key in on with my Columbus Blue Jackets?
Well, tomorrow we got Wednesday night hockey, so we got a big one tomorrow night on NBCSN at 8 Eastern. It's a Central Division matchup. We got St. Louis going into Chicago, which is going to be a pretty good one. And then we also got a late game on NBCSN at 10:30 Eastern. We got Anaheim in Vegas. Like I said, on the 15th, we got a couple good games on the 15th. We got the Rangers taking on the Islanders in Long Island. We got Tampa Bay and Pittsburgh also on that night. Jay, like I said, your Columbus Blue Jackets are going to be hosting the Florida Cats that day as well. It's going to be another good game to watch. On the 16th, we got a few games that I'm going to be interested in. We got Washington and Colorado. Colorado has been pretty good so far this year. Boston's going to be down in Dallas. That's going to be a game that I'm going to be interested in seeing. As we get into on the 17th, we got Tampa Bay and Philly, which is going to be a big Eastern matchup to watch. And also on the 17th, Jay, our Carolina Hurricanes are going to be taking on your Blue Jackets down in Raleigh at 7 p.m.
Uh-oh.
Eastern. So that's going to be another big game, especially in the standings right now. Only 3 points separate these two teams right now in the Metro division, and it's going to be a pretty good battle to watch. Also that night, we're going to have Edmonton and Calgary. So we got some young studs going to be doing battle there. And that's what I got on tap to watch this week. So, like I said, Wednesday night hockey tomorrow on NBCSN. And also we got a free game on NHL.tv later tonight. So, you know, if anybody wants to catch some good hockey tonight, Toronto and the Kings are going to be doing battle tonight on the free games. So it's going to be a good one to watch. So that's what we got hockey wise, and you know, I can't wait for the rest of this week.
Definitely looking forward to sitting back down with you here next week in the studio and talk about these great games and everything else that's going on in the NHL. Izzo, try to stay warm, and we'll talk to you next week.
Hey, definitely, and always a pleasure, and we'll talk to you guys next Tuesday.
Yes, sir. That was Izzo, our NHL expert. Make sure you guys check him out on Twitter at 110Puckhead. Tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, new time, hour-long show. Like I said, with us going to a one-hour show, count on there being a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday show instead of just a Tuesday, Wednesday show. Make sure you guys tune in as I do my picks and talk about the topics, the latest topics, the biggest topics of the sporting world. So 9 o'clock tomorrow night, I want to make sure that I thank Fit for Life, the I-95 Sports Network, Mile High Radio, Carolina Sports Plus, and Digital Maxivation Digital Media. Without these great marketing partners and or networks, we wouldn't be able to do what we do and grow the way we grow. Follow us on Twitter at 110 Nation. Like us on Facebook, 110 Nation Sports. And check out our site, www.110nationsports.com, for all the latest. 9 o'clock, come on night. Till then.
Thanks for listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show with Mr. CJ Sports. You are a part of the 110 Nation, so be sure to visit the 110nation.com for everything related to the show. You can follow CJ on Twitter at 110 Nation and on Facebook at 110 Nation Sports. Until next time.